Well, good morning again, church. It's great to be here with you again this week, and just happy to be here. Happy it's a Sunday. I love waking up on Sundays and just realizing the blessing we have to come and to be here. And you know, Brett in first service is always talking about shorts weather versus long pants weather, and I'm just grateful that we can come, and hopefully warmer weather is on its way. You know, last week we talked about Abraham, or we began a new sermon series called Waiting on God, and how waiting on God, or waiting for God to act, trusting in his promises, can be challenging for us. And sometimes we feel the need to take matters into our own hands, but the Bible shows us that whenever we do that, whenever we take matters into our own hands, it never turns out well. Last week, specifically, we talked about Abram and Sarah as they were waiting for a child, the long-awaited child that God had promised them, that God said to Abram and Sarah that you were going to be the parents of a great and mighty nation. But to them, it seemed like God was taking a long time to fulfill his promise, and so they decided to take matters into their own hands, and we are still living with the consequences of that decision today. Likewise, when we take matters into our own hands rather than waiting on or trusting God, the consequences can be tragic and will often lead to heartbreak. This week, we're going to continue this series as we continue in the Old Testament, but we're going to be looking in the book of Exodus today, Exodus specifically, Exodus chapter 32. And the scripture takes us to a place that is after slavery in Egypt, after the plagues, after crossing the Red Sea. In today's passage, we find ourselves with the Israelites, the newly freed Israelites, at the base of Mount Sinai. And Moses had gone up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God himself. Moses had spent 40 days up on top of Mount Sinai, and the people were beginning to wonder what had happened to him. And so that's kind of the background of our scripture here today. Reading from Exodus chapter 32, 1 through 6. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, let us make gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off your gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." And so all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. And he took what they handed him and he made it into an idol in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." And so the next day the people got up early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, so last week we saw that when we have to wait, that we will often be tempted to act instead of trust. Today's lesson, however, is that when we are impatient, with God's timing, the question is, do we continue to worship him? Do we continue to worship God? Or do we turn to a God of our own making? Now, on face value, right, there could be some benefits to worshiping a God that you create. Because let's think about this here for a second. What do you get when you create your own God? No rules, right? Or at least no rules that you don't like. Because if we're in charge, we get to do whatever we want. I know if I was in charge, I'd get rid of calories right off the bat. No calories. Eat whatever you like, and there is no weight gain, no high blood pressure, no exercise. My goodness, not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, I did some exercising because I'm realizing I'm not getting any younger. And I did something I'd never done before. I did squats. And if you don't know what squats are, thank God, because you don't want to know. I did not think I was going to ever be able to walk again. You know, I walked into the staff meeting on Wednesday. Wednesday. I must exercise either on Monday or Tuesday. And I walked in, and Kurt and John and Brett all looked at me, and they're like, "What's wrong with you? Are you feeling okay?" And it's like, "No, I exercised." So if we're going to create gods of our own making, let's get rid of soreness, right? All together while we're at it. You know, you don't feel like stopping at a stop sign? Don't, right? You're in a hurry. Just blaze on through. You like that big screen TV? Yeah, because you got a movie coming out that you want to watch it on some big new TV. Well, just go ahead and take it, right? It's all up to you. You're your own God. Go ahead and do it. You make the rules, knock yourself out. And it all sounds good until you're the car that gets run into because somebody didn't stop at a stop sign. Or you're the owner of the store that sells big screen TVs that everybody is helping themselves with. Or you find out that eating whatever you want isn't really good for your body and that you really should watch what you eat. Because there's one thing that we cannot get rid of, even if we're going to create our own gods. Consequences. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It all sounds great until we don't die. Because tomorrow comes, and all we are left with are the consequences of the night before. You know, these people who were here had forgotten all of what the Lord had done for them. They had forgotten of what they had seen and experience what they had lived through. Exodus 32 continues and says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go down, because your people, whom you have brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I have commanded them, and they have made themselves an idol in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it, and they have sacrificed to it. And they have said, These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.'" They had forgotten. They had forgotten the 10 plagues that hit Egypt. Right? The water turning to blood, frogs, lice, flies, livestock, pestilence, boils, hail, locusts, darkness. The death of the firstborn. They had forgotten walking out of Egypt, not as former slaves, but as conquering kings. Right? When they walked out of Egypt, all of Egypt turned out to give the Israelites gold and silver. And they cheered them on. They celebrated them. They had forgotten walking across the Red Sea. Can you imagine that? And I'll guarantee you, you see any kind of river bottom, and it's going to be muddy. But Scripture specifically points out that they walked across on dry ground. They had forgotten being led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They had forgotten awaking every day to manna from heaven to eat. These people had forgotten all of this. They had become impatient, and they had forgotten God. The God who had rescued them from their terrible circumstances. These people had gotten impatient and had forgotten God and decided to replace God with a God of their own creation. Their impatience with God led them to create an idol, a god of their own making to suit their own needs. And it's almost too easy to simply say "these people," as if it could never happen to us. I know in my own life I'm guilty of doing the same exact thing. Before you ask, I have never created an idol out of Jan's gold earrings. I have not done that. But I have looked at my bank account to find reassurance for my family and I. You know, if my family and I are, if we're going to be okay. I lose sleep when the balance is low, and I rest easy when the balance is high. I have looked to something that I can control to be my God. And you know, we don't often talk about giving, but and that's not where the message is going today, and so this is simply extra, but when we give, it is an act of worship. When we give, it is a way of us saying to ourselves and to our God that what we really need is Him. That what we need in this life is not found in our bank account, is not found in our 401k, but it is found in the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And so here's the important piece that we really need to hold on to remember this morning. A golden calf, a God that we can create, isn't going to save us from the consequences of our decisions. Our bank account is not going to save us from the consequences of our bad decision. That when we choose to serve as our own gods or to create a god, the end result is that we are the ones who have to pay the bill in the end. And when our impatience with God leads us to create our own gods, we are the ones who are ultimately going to be responsible for our actions and our choices. Because, church, when we are at our lowest, when we are faced with a life-changing diagnosis, when a loved one passes away, when a spouse leaves, when the market crashes, when the wind and the waves come crashing in, nothing that we create will be there to rescue us. The man who has the most toys, the man who dies with the most toys, still dies. But hear me, church. This is God. This is God's word. When we're utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God demonstrates His great love for us in sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Because the offer of God, not the God we create, not the God we compose, but the offer of God is rescue. He offers to take all of the consequences of our sinfulness and to take it upon Himself. Our God will walk beside you every step of the way. That whether you are traveling through the valley of the shadow of death, whether you find yourself in the midst of personal heartache, whether you find yourself surrounded by addictions, our God will walk with you. Our God will speak life to you. He will speak of your worth and your value to Him, not because of what you do, but because He created you and He loves you. Our God will heal your brokenness. He will heal the wounds given to you by others. Every horrible thing that you've ever been told about yourself, our God will stand up and tell you that you are a beloved child of God. Our God will remain faithful to you. His word promises that He will never leave you or forsake you. You will never be alone. You will never be forgotten. And so whatever it is that you find yourself going through, whatever it is that sidetracks your faith, whatever it is that sits upon the throne of your heart, cry out to God to take it. cry out to God about how much you need him. Tell him that you are going to stand on his faithfulness. Because the God who was, the God who is, the God who will ever be is calling your name. And so simply run to him. Run to him and you will never be the same. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray for one another in the midst of our need today. Lord, we recognize the impatience in our own lives. Lord, we know the temptation we have to create and control. Help us with it. Help us with this, dear God. Allow us to wait upon you. Help us to listen to you and run to you, knowing that you alone are God. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Yeah, I think every day we have this choice we make. You know, who are we going to follow? Do we follow a God that we can measure or define? A God that we can hold in our hands or set up on a mantel place? God that we can stick in our pocket? Or do we serve a God that we can't define? And you think about it, we have come up with words trying to describe God, omniscience, omnipresence. You know, because we can't even fathom the depth, the grandeur, the size, the scope of who God is. Why would we ever settle for a God that we've created? Can we allow ourselves to fall into the hands of the one who made everything? Can we allow ourselves to rest and be patient in the hands of our Creator, our Father, our Shepherd, our Judge, our Redeemer, our Sustainer? Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for continuing to challenge us. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of our impatience, that you would continue to call us into a loving, a trusting relationship with you. Lord, help us to put anything that is on the throne of our hearts, let us put it off to the side. Let's rid our lives of those small g gods. And allow ourselves to be known, to be led by God. Jesus, we are yours. Use us as you see fit. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. We'll see you next week.